the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on a weekend that marks the six-month anniversary of Pope Leo's election to the papacy on May 8th. Let's all say an extra Hail Mary or two for the Holy Father, whose multifaceted mission and ministry are so important for a huge swath of humanity. The role of a pope, in fact, embraces spiritual leadership, doctrinal authority, pastoral care, and an invaluable presence on the global stage. Now, my guests this week in the interview segment are Marlene Watkins, founder of Our Lady of Lourdes Hospitality, North American Volunteers, and Bishop Douglas Lucia of Syracuse, New York, and he's the chaplain for the group. Both had come to Rome after spending some time with the volunteers in Lourdes. Marlene explains the mission and work of Lourdes volunteers, and Bishop Lucia explains his role when on a pilgrimage, and he tells one of the most riveting stories imaginable about an encounter he had with one of the pilgrims in their group. Maybe a Lourdes miracle? But first, the top stories this week at the Vatican. November 1 and 2, another Jubilee weekend with big crowds in Rome. On November 1st, the Solemnity of All Saints, during Mass in St. Peter's Square for the Jubilee of Education, Pope Leo proclaimed St. John Henry Newman as the 38th Doctor of the Church, praising him as a master of faith and reason, and urging educators to form people who may shine like stars in their full dignity, and to make schools, quote, gateways to a civilization of dialogue and peace. There are 38 doctors of the Church, 34 men and 4 women, all of whom are saints. Leo also named St. Newman as co-patron of the Church's educational mission together with St. Thomas Aquinas. Sunday, November 2nd, All Souls Day, Leo XIV prayed the Noon Angelus and at 4 p.m. celebrated Mass at Rome's Verano Cemetery in the presence of 2,000 faithful. He told them, "Our Christian faith, founded upon Christ's Paschal mystery, helps us to experience our memories as more than just a recollection of the past, but also, and above all, as hope for the future. It's not so much about looking back, but instead looking forward towards the goal of our journey, towards the safe harbor that God promised us, towards the unending feast that awaits us." Monday, November 3rd, Pope Leo presided at a Requiem Mass for the late Pope Francis and the cardinals and bishops who died during the past year, praying that their souls might be washed from every stain and that they may shine like stars in the sky. That evening, before heading to Costa Gandolfo for his customary weekly day of rest, Pope Leo stopped just after 8 p.m. at St. Mary Major Basilica to pray before the tomb of Pope Francis, placing a bouquet of white roses on the tomb of his predecessor. Also Monday, the Vatican published a chirograph by Pope Leo, dated November 1st, the Solemnity of All Saints, that decreed St. John Henry Newman as patron saint of the Pontifical Urbaniana University. It was on November 1st, during the Mass in St. Peter's Square for the Jubilee of the World of Education, that the English cardinal was proclaimed Doctor of the Church and co-patron of the Church's education mission. Tuesday, November 4, the Vatican released Pope Leo's monthly prayer intention video for November with his invitation to the faithful to pray for the prevention of suicide and for those living in darkness and despair. Also Tuesday, the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, with approval from Pope Francis, published Mater Populi Fidelis, Mother of the Faithful People, a doctrinal note on some Marian titles regarding Mary's cooperation in the work of salvation. The note offers clarifications on titles applied to the Blessed Virgin Mary and states clearly that, quote, the title co-redemptrix is deemed inappropriate and problematic. It also calls for special attention to the use of the expression mediatrix of all graces. Approved titles are Mother of Believers, Spiritual Mother, and Mother of the Faithful. Tuesday evening, in remarks to journalists as he was leaving Castel Gandolfo, Pope Leo called for deep reflection on the treatment of migrants in the United States. He urged dialogue between the U.S. and Venezuela. He warned that the Israel-Hamas peace deal is very fragile. And he expressed his hope that the trial of ex-Jesuit Marco Rupnik will bring clarity and justice for everyone involved. Wednesday, November 5th, Pope Leo XIV sent a letter to the major archdiocesan seminary in Trujillo, Peru, where he was once a professor and director of studies. He expressed his gratitude for the institution's four centuries of history and encouraged candidates for the priesthood to give constant witness of fidelity and love. At the general audience Wednesday, the Pope reflected on Christ's resurrection as, quote, not an idea, not a theory, but the event that is the foundation of faith. He said, truly believing in the resurrection in our daily life means revolutionizing how we live. This transformation can then help change the world with the gentle and courageous power of Christian hope. Leo also invited the faithful to pray for people suffering in countries at war, praying in particular for Myanmar, which has been ravaged by years of civil conflict and internal unrest. Thursday, November 6th, Pope Leo met with signatories to the new Carta Ecumenica, and he invited European bishops of various Christian churches to listen to one another in order to preach the gospel of Christ more effectively. He also met that day with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, discussing the urgent need for an end to the conflict in Gaza and for the entry of humanitarian aid. Leo also greeted participants in the general chapters of the Religious of Jesus and Mary and the Missionary Sisters of St. Charles Borromeo, Scalabrinians. Friday, November 7th, another very busy day for the Holy Father, who welcomed the members of the International Foundation, Religions and Societies, that promotes quality education in Africa and cooperation between the Global South and North. He also addressed the advisory board of the RCS Academy, a higher school of formation in the fields of journalism, economics, communication, and enterprise. Leo also greeted members of the Synod of Bishops of the Romanian Greek Catholic Church and later participants in the General Assembly of the Italian Conference of Major Superiors. Also Friday, Leo XIV sent a message to Italy's 7th National Conference on Addictions, proposing a path to concretely combating the phenomenon of addiction and the tendency of young people to withdraw into themselves. Also, in a message to participants in the Builders AI Forum 2025 at Rome's Gregorian University, the Pope called on scientists, entrepreneurs, and pastoral leaders engaged in the development and employment of artificial intelligence to ensure that emerging technologies remain rooted in respect for human dignity and the common good. AI must reflect the design of God the Creator. Well, those are the week's top stories, but stay tuned for my conversation with Marlene Watkins and Bishop Douglas Lucia, who talked to us about the ministry called Lourdes Volunteers.
He was a deacon, hymn writer, and doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Ordained a deacon in his native Nisibis in modern Turkey, St. Ephrem the Syrian was revered for his hymns that gave praise to God and fought against the heresies of his time. For his musical labors, he is called the Harp of the Holy Spirit. Ephrem died in 379 and was declared a Doctor of the Church in 1920.
To find out more about the Doctors of the Church, visit EWTN.com and click on Catholicism.
The EWTN home video highlight for November is Nativity in Song. In celebration of the Word made flesh, EWTN presents an hour of sacred music of the Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany seasons. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
I'll never forget a conversation I had with a guy at a pub. He learned that I did ministry, so he pushed the conversation from faith to politics to abortion. It took a sad turn when he said, "I think my mom should have aborted me." Hearing that changed how I think about the abortion debate forever. How can you convince someone who doesn't think his own life has value that he should care about the life of a fetus? You can't. Abortion won't become illegal until it becomes unthinkable, and it won't become unthinkable until we remember the value of human life again. That's why being pro-life isn't some isolated political cause, and it isn't about being against a woman's rights. It's about being for a society based on the idea that every life deserves to be welcomed because every life is beautiful. That's why for this and every issue, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only answer in the end. That's why we learn that every life is of infinite worth because God found every person worth dying for. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Well, I want to welcome my listeners to another fascinating interview segment of Vatican Insider. I have two very special guests this week. One you've met before, Marlene Watkins, when we've talked about the group that she founded, Lourdes Volunteers. And joining her today, but we had just met the other night for the first time, is Bishop Douglas Lucia. Well, do you say Lucia or Lucia?
Actually, we say it more like the island, so they say Lucia over in New York State most of the time.
Oh, because in Italy, of course, it would be Lucia. Lucia. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for that. They are in Rome for a reason. They come every year at this time. And I'll let Marlene start and kind of tell us about that, because you are actually Our Lady of Lourdes Hospitality North American Volunteers. And you are a public association of the Christian faithful. I think that's relative to your visit.
So as a public association, that means we're part of the Catholic Church with a capital C. And, of course, Bishop is our official chaplain. And we're so pleased that we just came from Lourdes together, and now we're here in Rome. And Pope Benedict the 16th, Pope Emeritus, at the time was Holy Father of our 10th anniversary in 2012. And he granted a historic plenary indulgence to us for the Lourdes virtual pilgrimage experience that God had given us a grace to do. And that's where we bring Lourdes to people in the parish pew or the school, the prison, remote locations, maybe where people won't be able to go to Lourdes, but some people go, of course, to the virtual pilgrimage and say, "I really want to go there now."
Sure.
And we have pieces of the Grotto Rock that were entrusted to us by the bishop at the time, Monsignor Jacques Perrier, and we bring Lourdes water right from the spring there in Lourdes, France. We have it shipped over. We have volunteers who bottle it and pray the rosary. And then we recreate an experience of Lourdes. So we are guides of the Sanctuary of Lourdes. So we gave the same guided visit you'd get if you were in France with us. And then we stop, touch the Grotto Rock, beautiful music, stop, experience the Lourdes water, learn about what is a miracle and what is the church quantify as a true miracle. And then we have the Eucharistic procession or adoration, and we conclude with the rosary and a procession with candles, just like you were in Lourdes for the day.
Sure.
So that experience is the first time in 2,000 years that a plenary indulgence was granted for a virtual experience.
Wow.
As opposed to an actual pilgrimage experience. So the plenary indulgence is equal for both. And others had requested it,
that's
like the Sistine
beautiful.
Chapel and others, but they had never granted it before us. And so they asked, if it's not a burden for us of time or money, could we come each year and share the fruit we are privileged to witness? And so we come each year. And after 1 year, we came the first time. And by then, there's a new pope. There's Pope Francis. He granted it for 7 years. And he again gave us another one after 7 years. And this year, our bishop came and met with the cardinal there and said, next year I'll send a letter requesting for our 25th anniversary, another one.
Well, now, how long have you been the chaplain, the spiritual advisor to the Lourdes Volunteers?
Well, I became Bishop of Syracuse 6 years ago, in August of 2019. And it's really been for the last 6 years that I've become more familiar with their work. But actually, and I've had been on the virtual pilgrimage, but this is actually my first year that I've been able to, in a certain sense, follow the volunteers and what they would do in Lourdes. And now, as they say, it's starting to make sense to me.
Yeah.
Like even the outline of the virtual pilgrimage, but I've been blessed to know Marlene and other members of the organization for the 6 years, and I did help them when I first became bishop to get the plenary indulgence, although I have to admit I probably didn't understand all that was involved in it at the time. But for me, it has been a wonderful experience, especially this year, having the chance to go with them to Lourdes to be part of that annual pilgrimage. And it has really been a moving experience, but even more than a moving, it's life-changing in the sense of what I've encountered at Lourdes.
Oh, it absolutely has to be, because, I mean, I've been to Lourdes, not as part, obviously, of your group, but I'd like to do that sometime and just tell the story on a day-to-day basis.
We're invited. We'd love it.
Well, I accept. I will be there with you. But I've been in the past when friends of the Order of Malta, they'll have their annual pilgrimage, and just to, you know, to be with the sick, often bringing the sick, you know, from the States.
Sure.
Do you ever accompany people who are ill from the States?
So we're there several times a year. The Order of Malta, of course, is almost 1,000 years, and, you know, the word hospital and hospitler comes from the Sovereign
Sure.
Order, of course, in the military order that it is. So we bring the very sick throughout the year. So we're going several times. We stay in the hospital bed facility, Okay. not in hotels.
Okay.
And we bring people on oxygen, kidney dialysis. We just had someone last week with kidney dialysis, somebody with ventilators, people who are end-stage cancer. And then we also have the walking wounded.
Sure.
You know, there's all of us, the one thing that probably unifies all of us is all of us know suffering at some point.
Sure.
We've either been sick or someone we love has been sick.
Right.
And there's different kinds of sickness and needs of healing.
Sure.
So we bring people of all different kinds of needs. Of course, we have the walkers and the wheelers.
Yeah.
And we're going several times throughout the year so that people can have different opportunities to come. And we have university students that are with us. We
Oh.
have teenagers that are with us in June. So at different times of the year, different volunteers helping. It's really incredible way for everyone to experience Lourdes.
But just to hear what you're saying about traveling with some of the people, oxygen or, you know, particular problems for the airlines, actually, as much as
Right.
for the patient.
So we actually fly on Air France. We've been working with them for 25 years almost.
Sure.
And we find it's a wonderful relationship. They're very accommodating. But we are flying on commercial flights. We are not flying on chartered jets.
No.
Not yet.
Well, and also, I mean, that would cost a huge amount of money, not just your own plane, but anytime you read of medical evacuations from some incident or something, you're looking at big money. I think I have an insurance policy that actually includes that. So you mentioned the virtual pilgrimages. I think you told me once. Now, see, a lot of my listeners would be familiar. You are familiar with Marlene, and you've seen her on EWTN and some of the volunteers as well. But those of you who are new, that's why we're bringing up some of the, or describing exactly what the Lourdes volunteers are and the amazing work they do. And then I just want to let everybody know on my Friday blog before the weekend, because this is a weekend radio show, before it airs, I always post the picture of my guests. And then I tell people about whatever, in this case, Lourdes Volunteers, the website, so you can learn even more that way. You've done work in prisons, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, so we're in. We bring the virtual pilgrimage experience in the prisons. Sometimes they don't allow the rock, could be considered a weapon, because it is actually a piece where Our Lady stood on the grotto itself. Sometimes they will test the water chemically before they allow us to bring it in. Sometimes they don't allow it. Sometimes there'll be a chaplain to expose the Blessed Sacrament. You know, as most of the times they do not allow a candle, of course.
Sure.
So the Vatican was good enough to say that where we say a virtual pilgrimage actually is present, it is. So we create the experience as best we can with the limitations we have. In Africa, under a mango tree, we didn't have any electricity. So, you know,
we're
yeah. using visual pictures. But we have found tremendous conversions that can take place in prisons, that they're really willing. And, of course, Bernadette lived in a jail, the abandoned jail
yes.
cell of her family, and her father had been wrongly jailed. So they can really relate to Bernadette. And here's somebody who comes from a typical family that has all kinds of complications, just
right.
like all of our families, yet she becomes a great saint. And
exactly.
So they're drawn to her purity. They're drawn to her simplicity. They can relate to her family. So it really is
Well, sometimes, amazing. Marlene, when you think about it, and Your Excellency, there are stories that are so unreal, they don't seem like they could be true. And when you look at the lives of some of the saints, one of the, I don't remember her name right now, but one of the new saints Sunday, she founded a religious order. She was born without a left arm. And I mean, if you were going to try and write a novel about a woman who founded a religious order, you probably wouldn't start off by saying she was born without a left arm. So there are stories that are just almost unreal, and yet they're real. They're wonderful stories, you know.
It's very much like our book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm going to ask you to tell me about, too. But now, what do you do specifically, Bishop, when you go to Lourdes with the group?
When I go, and of course this was my first time, but part of my ministry in Lourdes is actually accompaniment, just to be present. And we had like 240 persons in Lourdes last week. So
wow.
part of it was to be just present with the group. But also, as the week went on, it was interesting to be able, as a bishop, to interact with the group, but then especially to lead them in prayer, to lead, like they had me lead the Eucharistic pilgrimage. One day, I also participated in the candlelight procession one evening.
Of course.
And then on our last day there, I actually was able to celebrate Mass in the grotto. So, and at that point, there are people who really want to start connecting, and I have a chance to visit with them, and some will ask me questions, some will share concerns or different things, but for most, it was just the fact that, and I guess that's part of my role, that with my being present with them, they feel the church is present with them.
Well, it's got to be comforting.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to go to Lourdes, chances are you have some kind of faith, if not Catholic or Christian, but you've got a faith that this is possible. You know people have been healed. And so you go with that feeling of faith, and to see a man of faith, visible as a priest, as a bishop in this case, that has to be very, very comforting to people. They might just want to pull you aside and say, you know, Father, I haven't told anybody, but I'm just so despondent. How can you help me? Mm-hmm. And just knowing that you are there in that mm-hmm. capacity. But now, you said a few minutes ago that for you it was an altering experience. Anybody who's been to Lourdes might understand, but tell us your...
Two things I found happened while I was there. One was actually the sacraments of initiation for a gentleman who came on the pilgrimage with us. And it's a long story one way, but in a nutshell, I had met him at the beginning of the trip, and he just seemed to, I mean, you, as reading people, as I have to do sometimes, it was like he just seemed a bit angry, not just angry at the world and everything. And as the week went on, he was able to go to the baths. And he happened to be an amputee, so he was dealing with a lot of issues with that, including the reasons behind it, which was a medical mishap more than anything, an infection that wasn't caught in time. And yet he goes to the baths, and I can say this much, that it happened to be two doctors working in the baths that day. And so he is literally brought into the baths, and then as he comes out of the water, and he considered himself an agnostic, he comes out of the water, and his desire is to be baptized.
Wow.
But it gets better in this sense, because as the parish priests and lords would say, well, the only way he could possibly be baptized is if his parish priest was here, because he said it really has to be the parish priest who's willing to take
sure.
responsibility. Well, it just happened that his parish priest was on the pilgrimage.
No
and
way.
And they never met.
And they had never met. But being a canon lawyer, I can say it was his canonical parish. This guy was as we say when you're a pastor, you're the pastor of all the folks in a territory. He was the pastor. And so arrangements were made, and the proper permissions were granted, and he was able to be not only baptized, but receive First Communion and be confirmed. But what was really significant, and this is the part that really moved me, was I got to be present at the baptism. And as and it's one of the few times, it's not often when I don't have to preside at some liturgical ceremony. So, but I was in attendance, and I got to stand sort of in the back watching this all unfold. But when I happened to be at the fount when he was baptized, and I will say, as a priest, it was probably the most moving moment, because I actually saw a person's face from what I would call hardened before turn literally into a face of light, and he looked like a little child. Oh. And he was baptized in the same fount that Saint Bernadette was baptized in.
Wow.
And he was a bodybuilder, so it was amazing to see him lift himself up to the fount, even though he did not have a leg. I still can't get over the experience of looking at his face and how it radiated. But more than that, he looked like a little child.
Oh.
And as some others like to tell, and I don't, the story of Lourdes is becoming more of a story I'm used to, but I guess they say when Bernadette was baptized, she cried a lot. Well, it was funny, just as he was being baptized, a child came into the church, and the child cried out. And so it was sort of like, also,
oh,
as somebody
gosh.
Said, it was like Bernadette had come at that moment.
Well, I won't ever forget that story, and I am sure you will not, forget that. Well, that's all the time I have today with Marlene Watkins, foundress of Our Lady of Lourdes Hospitality, North American Volunteers, and Bishop Douglas Lucia of Syracuse, New York, who is the chaplain for the group. But come back next week for much more to their story, including a look at Marlene's book, Everyday Miracles of Lourdes.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.